Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well tonight. What a blessing it's already been just being in this place. And I trust you feel the very same way. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 50. Finally at chapter 50. It's the last chapter of the book of Genesis. And if you will, it's coming to the end of our series on the life of Joseph. And it has been a tremendous blessing to me as I prepared to preach and teach on the life of Joseph. And God just revealed so many things to me through this study, and I trust that you have learned much from it too. Joseph, a type of Christ in the Old Testament, and how he handled things was truly Christ-like. And we find that the principles we learn from the life of Joseph are revealed in Scripture throughout the New Testament and through the life of Jesus Christ. It's just a blessing how we've been able to study the historical truths that were there and then be able to see them presented to us in Scripture as the very words of God and how Joseph was able to handle things. And so we've been going through and studying much of those things as we've looked at the life of Joseph. The theme throughout this entire study has been God is able to work all things out for good, no matter how dark they might seem. God is able. If the right decisions are made, we continue to focus on God. God is able to work all things out for good. And then, of course, we have that revealed to us in Romans 8:28 in the Scriptures of the New Testament. And so we've been kind of looking at that as a theme and going through and seeing how, now that we look back over the life of Joseph, everything has worked out for good. And of course, he'll be presenting that to his brothers here as we come to the end of the story and the study. But for several weeks here, the last several weeks, Joseph has been preparing for Jacob's death, his father. And last week, we studied in chapter 49 that Jacob died. And we looked at and preached on how to biblically face death. And I think it's a perfect example in Jacob and Joseph, in Jacob and how he died. And you can't, what a peaceable way to die. Once you know that you have accomplished all that God has you on this planet to accomplish, and you're right with God, and you know what you know concerning everlasting life. Jacob knew that, and he reveals that to Joseph. He's going on to be with Abraham and Isaac. He's going on to be with all of his loved ones. He's going on to be with glory. It's not an end to his life. It's the beginning of the rest of his life in a glorified body at some point. But the rest of his life in the place of heaven, a place of glory in the presence of an almighty God, in the physical presence of an almighty God. And so Jacob knew how to, and a perfect example of biblically how to face death, if we're dying, coming to that place. And also in Joseph, a biblical way in how to face the death of a loved one. And so we study some of those things. Verse 33, it said this, "And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he accomplished the last thing that God had for him to accomplish on this earth, was to present to his sons the blessings that passed down from the Abrahamic covenant. They would be the 12 tribes of Israel." And so he presented all that. And after he did that, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Gathered, went on to glory. That's what it's talking about there. What a peaceable way of leaving this world. Amen? And what a biblical way to end your life, making sure and knowing that I've finished, I've accomplished what God hath me here to do, and now that I've accomplished it, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain, as Paul likewise would say that. Well, now we're going to be looking at how Joseph handled after his father died, how he handled it after his father died. Chapter 50. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read just six verses here tonight. Verse 50, the last chapter of the book of Genesis, Jacob's death impacted the lives of his children, as it should. But the Bible reveals to us how much it impacted the lives of the one that probably loved him on a different level than any of the other sons. He was Jacob. Joseph was Jacob's favorite, if you will. But it wasn't because of Jacob. It was because of how Joseph loved him and desired what Jacob had for him, desired the things of God. And so he leaned more toward the one that had the very same love for God that he had. And so now let's read here. Chapter 50. Everybody ready? I know you say, preacher, preaching on death again? When you understand it, it's not that sad. Amen? It's really not. I don't think we ought to fear it. I don't think we ought to be saddened by it. As we're going to see, there's going to be tears and there's going to be some sorrow and mourning. But when you stop and think about God's design for it all, that's a hallelujah. And if we don't preach on it, you don't learn. The things that can get you through even as you go through the valley of the shadow of death. And I praise God that He gave us the account of Jacob's death, and He gave us the account of Joseph and how he handled it. So let's read here. Chapter 50. Put everything else out of your mind. Focus on what God has us here to do tonight and receive what God has for us. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians, after that 40 days, mourned for him 70 days, 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die, and in my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, go up, bury thy father, according as he had made thee swear. Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the precious word that you've preserved for us, and for the truths that we can study and learn and apply to our own lives. Pray tonight, God, that you would speak to each one of us as we have need to be spoken to. Use me once again to present your message to your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, there's several things here that are presented here in just the 6 verses that we've just read. But the first thing was, once Joseph's father, Jacob, died, how his initial response, what he did when he stood beside the lifeless body that housed the spirit of his father for all those years, and knowing now that his father was no longer there. The only thing that would remain is the physical house that Jacob lived in. And he fell upon his father's face. You can just see it. I mean, I see it often at the funerals and when people are coming by and viewing the body, especially once the guests have gone, it's just the family. Just the family staying there. And one of the hardest things to do is to leave that physical body. Even though you know the spirit is not there, but you're attached to, and that's what you've seen. That's what you've come to grow to love. And that's that person. That's that physical body, the life. It represents the life that they lived here on this earth. And I'll see them quite often. I'll see them. They'll take the face of that loved one. It's no longer there. And they'll put their hands on that face of that loved one. They'll put their face and they'll look into it. And then they'll give that loved one a kiss, either on the forehead or cheek or sometimes on the lips even. Joseph does the very same thing. It's a goodbye for now kiss. He already knew that his father was gone to be with the Lord. He knew that his father was gone in glory. He was not there. But that's what the last thing that you leave, the last thing that you remember is the body, the life that that person lived. And he bows down to him, he falls upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. A symbol or a gesture of love. I don't know about you, but most of the time, before I leave the house, and if my wife doesn't come with me, most of the time we're coming to church and we're together about all week long and doing a lot of things. But if we're going to do something different, and I'm going one direction, she's going another direction, we'll have just a real quick kiss, and it's a goodbye for now kiss for just that time to where we're apart, and it will be followed by love you. Anybody else? Come on. Yeah, that's part of it. That's somewhat what we expect. I mean, when we leave the house, what do you do when you send your kids off to school? If you send your kids off to school and they get out of the car or whatever, it's usually just a little kiss on the cheek, a kiss on the forehead, and it's a love you. See you after school. See you when you get home. Be good. Whatever, maybe some final instructions there, but that's a goodbye for now, a symbol, a gesture of love. And that's what we find Joseph's doing. No doubt Joseph would have a feeling of loss, followed by a void from not being able to talk with that person anymore in this life. Being able to seek counsel from that person in this life. Being able to just fellowship with that person in this life. And I often say at funerals, the closer you are to the individual, the greater the void is going to be in your life. But there will be a sense of loss followed by a void in your life. Times that you would normally call, sometimes you might even find yourself getting ready to pick up the phone and call that loved one and then realize, oh, they're not there. That first year is very difficult when you lose someone that's very close to you, because every holiday, everything that you're used to doing throughout that year, there's a void and you realize they're not there to do that with. I've shared all this time with them, I've done this and whatever, and now they're not there. And there's that immediate sense of loss, but then a void to follow. I have felt it many a times. I don't know that there have been any that I have felt any more than the loss of my parents. Because I believe God instills within us somewhat of a deeper affection and a desire to have our parents around. They raised us. And it's a sense of they know me better than anybody else. Whatever it might be, you've had that for the most part of your life until you get married or whatever. But that's always that loss followed by the void, and they're gone. Every time I've lost a family member, and when you have large families, you have more funerals. The older you get, the more funerals you go to. The more friends you're losing. It's just part, when it's a part of, it's a reality of life is death. Now again, it's not morbid. It's God's design. After sin, it's what God has designed. It's part of the life that we live. So we need to understand it. And we need to see biblical examples of how they dealt with it. Amen? So we find in the Bible we have many, but no example any more helpful than the example of Joseph and Jacob, his father. Can I tell you that we don't ever want to lose those that we love? Now, some that you don't, you might think, well, it wouldn't bother me if they passed on. You might not even say that. But somebody else dies, and you think, well, I feel bad for the family, but I didn't know them. It didn't affect my life. There's no void because they never was a part of my life. On and on and on. And we feel it, but people die every day. There's death every day. There's things, but we do not ever want to lose those that we love. His mourning revealed his love. His sense of loss was what he was mourning. It's normal. Don't think yourself unspiritual when you mourn over the loss of a loved one. Don't think that you have to be so tough that no one sees your sorrow. It's quite normal. No one ever wants to lose those that they love. The love that Joseph had for Jacob was very important. The love that a child has for their parent is very important. The love that a parent has for their child is very important. God uses that. God instills that within every child. It allowed Jacob to be an influence in raising Joseph. It allowed Jacob, the father, to have a great influence in raising his son. And I believe that's why Joseph actually lived and wanted to accomplish the will of God, had the desires for the will of God, because he was the one that loved his father the most. He wanted his father's time and attention. He wanted what his father had for him. He wanted his father's influence in his life. He wanted to know the God of his father. He wanted to serve the God of Abraham and Isaac. He wanted to understand more about what God had passed down concerning the Abrahamic covenant. Every one of those children had an opportunity because Jacob was their father. But the one that took advantage of it was the one who seemed to love him the most because he wanted his input into his life. I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. God instilled it. It doesn't take long to see how God instills that love in that child for the parent. And God, in His master design, designed it for that child to unite with its mother. Be a part of that. And that association that child has with the mother in nursing, and how that they bond together, and the family bonds together with the child. And we see it and we experience it in the nursery. Or you see it and you experience it in the nursery. When that child has bonded so much with mom and dad that they don't want to leave mom and dad, especially to go into a strange place like a nursery. And most of the time you hear the squalling and screaming and saying, I don't want to leave my mama. That's what they're saying. They're not verbalizing that yet. They're not old enough, but that's what they're saying when they start screaming and crying. They want their parents. God instills that with them. Rachel, for the first 8 years of Joseph's life, instilled within Joseph everything she could concerning God's will for his life. And then Jacob, for the next 9 years, if you remember, as we studied, for 17 years, that's all he would have to go by. That's all the spiritual help that he would have to deal with everything he would deal with for the next 23 years. And all the trials, his faith in God is what got him through that. Instilled within him by his parents. God instills it that parents can harden their children's heart to it. That's the sad part. Many of those that turn out to be the thugs of the world, the robbers and the rapers, drug addicts, their parents harden their hearts to their need and love for their parents by how they raised them. When they desired that, there was no one there to love them. There was no one there to watch out for them. There was no one there. In many cases, just the opposite. They were abused, neglected. They didn't develop the way that God intends for young minds to develop. Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. It allowed Jacob, Joseph's love for his father, first of all, allowed him to be influenced and being raised. Ephesians in chapter 6, I want to share with you, of course, we know the first couple verses there and how the children are to honor and obey their parents. Yes, I believe that's part of it. But verse 4, and your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Feeling of hate. Feeling of anger against parent. But instead of hardening their heart to their love for you, instead of provoking them, bring them up. Do it this way, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Connecting them to God's love for us. Connecting them to our love for God and then our love for them. Raising them to understand that there's a God who loves them. There's a God who not only will give them everlasting life when they get saved, but when they get saved, they have everlasting help. You have the everlasting help of God once you understand who God is and you put your faith and trust in Him. I believe that every child that is raised, as God would want that child to be raised, as soon as they reach the age of accountability, they will have a desire to receive the God of their parents. Because they will see the love of God in their parents. And they will see the love of God loving them in a right way. Parents can harden their children's hearts to the love that God instills within them. And God instills it in that child because that child needs to be influenced by a godly parent. Too often, children harden their hearts to their parents because they lose respect for their parents. Children are hardening their heart to God because they don't see the God of the Bible in the lives of the parents who might say, do as I say, not as I do. If that's the mentality of the parent, I guarantee you that child is going to have a hardened heart to God. You bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we find here, that's Joseph loved his father, and his love for his father allowed his father to be able to raise him to know God. His love for his father. He had a love for Jacob. And he wanted to know all about Jacob's God. And Jacob instilled within him the truths of this God who had blessed his grandfather and his father, Abraham, as Isaac, and would pass down the very same blessings to Jacob and his children. So not only did it allow Jacob to be influenced in raising Joseph, but Joseph's love for his father, and we find this at his death, it is a symbol, it is an act of the love that he had for his father. It also allowed Joseph to forgive his father's other sons. Did you understand that? And we studied that. When Joseph did not want to view his brothers as his brothers, how can you call me a brother, and how can I call you a brother when you sell me into slavery? How can you call me a brother and want me dead? How can you call me and really look to me as your own flesh and blood and think that I am your brother, and you treat me the way that you treat me? Joseph's love for Jacob would be part of how he was able to forgive his father's sons. When he didn't want to view them as his own brothers, he never lost sight of they're still dad's sons. The love I have for my father will extend to the love that I have for who he loves. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 32. And be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I mean, you can't do it because of your love for them, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God, for Christ's sake, because Christ came to die for the unlovable. Now, God loved you enough to send His Son, but it was through His blood that you were saved. And because of His love for His Son, that carried on to through His Son, He could forgive you of your sins, to see you as being sinless, justified through the blood. That's how we can forgive the unforgivable, is that we look to the forgiveness of God. We forgive them as we look to Christ's forgiveness of us. And knowing that if I'm going to love Him, then I have to forgive. For if I don't forgive others, He'll not forgive me. If I don't love others, how do I love the unlovable? I love the unlovable by going through the love that God has for me, that Christ had for me when He died for me when I was unlovable. He loved me, and because of my love for Him, I'll love those that He loves. I can. I often tell couples that are having problems with in-laws, love your in-laws through the love that you have for them. If you love them, you can love who they love. You can. My love for my spouse, how could you expect your spouse not to love his own or her own family? God instills it with them. It's God's will for them. And you can't, you cannot force them to choose. It's not God's will for you to do that. Joseph's love for Jacob allowed him to forgive his own brothers, which would be Jacob's sons. If the other sons would have loved their father as Joseph did, they would not have treated Joseph like they did. Later on, they would learn that. Joseph made sure, as they treated them as God wanted to take them through the trials, they realized what they had done to their own father. And after it was too late, they wished they could go back and undo what they had done. But if they would have loved Jacob like Joseph loved Jacob, they would not have sold him into slavery. We have to love others through our love for God. Yeah. We find that in Joseph. That's that Christ-likeness once again. Amen? That's that coming out. That love allowed him to forgive his own brothers after they had done that which was unforgivable. But he forgave them. Not only that, but Joseph's love for Jacob allowed him to bring him to Egypt, for he would take care of him. After they was left, departed, they was separated for 23 years. Jacob didn't even think Joseph was alive. Lived, ready, wanting to die. And he was about ready to die when he got the news, Joseph's alive. The Bible says, and we studied that, that Jacob had no desire to live. And he was about ready to die. He was about ready to give up his own ghost, his own spirit at that time. And then he hears the news, and Joseph knew that Dad needed to hear that I'm alive. If he knows that I'm alive, he'll want to live to come and see me. And they took back the news, and exactly what Joseph knew would happen, happened. Jacob, the Bible says, was revived. And he says, I want to go see my son. He revived his relationship with God, and God meets with Jacob now. After he had not met with him, he had not heard from God for all those years. He had not sought after God, but then he goes back and God renews to him the promises. He knows the promises are true, and he goes to Egypt to see his son renewed in his walk with God and renewed in his desire to live, and God allowed him to live 17 more years. The same amount of time that he lived with Jacob taking care of him, now he would live taking care of Jacob. Isn't that great? And he desired that, he wanted that because of his love for his father. Joseph's love for Jacob allowed him to bring him to Egypt where he would take care of him for the rest of his life for 17 years and thus fulfill the will of God. Because it was the will of God for Egypt to be the ones that God would choose to allow his people to go and be strengthened in Egypt. To become the mighty nation that they would become in Egypt. That would not have happened if it were not for the love that Joseph had for his own father and was willing to do God's will in taking care of him, bringing him to Egypt. And said, let me nurture you now. You nurtured me for 17 years. Give me the privilege of nurturing you. 17 years. Well, praise the Lord. We see, go back with me to our text. Now that you know the entire story, Say, preacher, how do you get all of that out of just two verses there? Because you know the story. And now he finally faces his death. It happened. It took place. And there was a great love. Because of that great love, there was sorrow for his loss. There was weeping. Once he did that, once he showed that respect, that love, and put his face to his face, gave him a gesture of a kiss and wept and said, goodbye for now. We'll see you in glory. Joseph wept over his loss because he loved him, but immediately after, turned himself to do what God had positioned him to do for God and his father. Verse 2, and Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. That was not typical. No one else had that technology to embalm. The Egyptians were the forerunners on that. They were the ones that had the new technology. They're the ones that did it. Matter of fact, in doing it then, as I'm reading and studying, the historians tell us that it took 40 days to fulfill this. And how they would take the body and embalm it and preserve it. It took 40 days. They didn't have the technology we have today, of course, and what they had to go through in order to preserve this for a length of time. For so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. That's what it's talking about in Egypt. And the Egyptians mourned for him after this embalming process. Then they mourned for a shepherd? Jacob was just a shepherd. And now the Egyptians, this mighty land of Egypt, is mourning for 70 days for this shepherd, Joseph's father. He embalmed Jacob. It was a very costly procedure. It took the 40 days. Joseph's plan was to be able to take him back to Canaan. In order for him to get permission from Pharaoh, not only was it a very expensive thing to embalm, it was very expensive to travel from Egypt to Canaan land. It took Israel 40 years. Of course, God was working during that time, but still yet it was a very lengthy journey, a very expensive journey. Joseph's plan was to be able to take him back to Canaan. He knew it to be Jacob's desire, and he knew it to be God's desire. And he immediately turned to do what God had positioned him there to do. It would include the support of the Egyptians. The custom of Egypt did not dishonor God. The embalming. Nor did it hinder the testimony of God's children. How far do we go in what is acceptable in doing God's will today? I'm not going to spend much time on this, but that's he had to figure out how I've got to get Dad back. I know this is God's will. I'm positioned here. God wants him back in Canaan. And I know that it's God's will for me. God's positioned me. Not only to take care of him, but God's positioned me to use his homegoing and to take his body back to Canaan and identify with Israel instead of the Egyptians. And Dad's already told me he did not want to stay here. So how far do I go in accomplishing the will of God? Can I tell you that it is never right to do wrong to have an opportunity to do right? Bob Jones Sr. Amen. It's never right to do wrong for an opportunity or a chance to do right. We find this in Joseph here has to do this, but he's thinking, should I have dad embalmed or should I not have dad embalmed? And so he's thinking now, in order to gain the respect of the Egyptians, they're going to have to see us have a somewhat Egyptian burial, and we're going to have to do it their way, and going to have to preserve his body, and we're going to have the Egyptians mourn for my father. The historians tell us that it took, the Egyptian law was to mourn 72 days for the death of a pharaoh. They mourn for this shepherd 2 days shy, as if he was a pharaoh. Amen. What a testimony to the whole nation of Egypt. This would later on become a testimony to the whole world in how they buried, how they conducted a funeral service for Jacob. This is something that we can use to impact the world. How far do I go to accomplish the will of God? Two things. The custom of Egypt did not dishonor God. Don't think you can honor God when you dishonor Him with how you do it. Nor did it hinder the testimony of God's children. You can't establish a Christian testimony by living an ungodly lifestyle. You can't truly worship God and live in sin. You can't do those things. And so Joseph had to have the peace of God. How we're going to do this? We have to convince Pharaoh that this is something that is good for the Egyptians. This is something that I have his support on. And so he turns and he tells them, embalm Jacob. We'll have an Egyptian burial in Egypt. But then we'll take him home. And we'll give him a Christian burial in Hebrew, in Canaan. He's able to accomplish that. He used Jacob's funeral to impact the lives of the Egyptians, the place he was living. Mourned 70 days. And when the days of his mourning, and we're done here, look in verse 4. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now you know what I've done here in Egypt. You know how I have been used to help save Egypt. And you see how we have honored Egyptian customs. And the people of Egypt have honored my father in mourning for him for 70 days. If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die, and in my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shall not thou shalt bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, go up, bury thy father according as he had made thee swear. What a testimony. And if we go on, we'll study a little bit more the next message here, but we find that all of the Hebrew, all of the men, all the women, all of the officers of Pharaoh, many of those in Egypt had this huge caravan. Not just talking about a short, this is from Egypt to Canaan land. They had to cross the Red Sea. They had to go around, cross it. All this very same journey. The whole world learned about it. It impacted not only the Egyptians, but it impacted the world for the cause of Christ. For the testimony, if you will, of God. Amen. All of this, grown out of a right love. The love that Joseph had for his father that was nurtured by the Father. God was honored. God was glorified. Listen to me. Nurture the love of your children. They need it. The cause of Christ needs it. And God will do great things through it. Yeah. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. That's what it's all about. The love. It's what made the difference between Joseph and the rest of the boys. It's what actually brought all the other boys back to God. One. The one that said, I will serve God. I will honor my father. God used that life in such a miraculous way. Impacted the world. Are we nurturing that love that God has instilled within our children? Are we working and doing the best we can to help them to have respect for their parents, to help them to honor, and to help them obey? Don't provoke them. Don't harden their hearts to the love that they need for you. Love God, and you can help them and their love for you. Anyone else needs to come? Powerful biblical truths found in the life of Joseph. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for the life of Joseph. And even as we come to the end, even as Jacob dies, we see so much, and it all brings to light his life, how you worked in it and how you used it. Pray that you would just help us to learn from that and be all that we can be. Bless now as we get ready to leave. Watch over us, get us home safely. In Jesus' name.